Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aide, and this is Altar Call, a Married at First Sight podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new episode, season 17, episode 20, aka Decision Day, part one. Hi, Aide. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for covering last week with Nicole.
Yeah, it was fun times. It was good to have the insights, but welcome back. It was refreshing.
I highly recommend to anybody, go to the Dominican Republic. Go to La Romana, sit on the beach, go to the pool, go back to the beach, go back to the pool, eat some food. That's all I did for 3 days? It was wonderful. I feel restored as a human.
Awesome. We all need that in our lives. Some water, some food, and good weather. Okay, well, I'm sorry you have to come back to real life, but can you share with us the updates that are coming up next week?
So we don't have after party because there is no after party, but after party is back next week and we'll be back to covering it next week. Love is Blind and Traitors will both be on our Patreon next week, along with after party. Love is Blind. Did you successfully avoid spoilers or are you spoiled?
I have successfully avoided so far. I know we've got some DMs, but to be safe, I haven't opened them because I haven't watched it. Have you watched it?
I have not.
Oh, okay. So I know I have to watch it ASAP because I don't know how much longer I can make it. So yeah, I'm going to watch it as soon as possible. Life has just been lifing, but yeah.
I have seen things. But they weren't spoilers, so I don't know what they mean. But I suspect things. But like you, I just need to watch it and stop it. Yeah. But what is going on with all of the previous Married at First Sight people?
Not a lot. And honestly, I didn't go dive deep because in diving deep, I was encountering potential Love is Blind spoilers. But the two major thing is that Alexis is engaged. I mentioned 2 weeks ago in the updates that she had gone to Japan. She hadn't shown who she was traveling with, but it turns out that it's her now fiance and she proposed in Japan. So congratulations to her.
Congratulations, Alexis. I feel like I must say for everybody, she's engaged to a woman. Mm-hmm. Just yeah. FYI. They're real cute yeah. together.
They are. And the other news is after teasing us forever and ever and ever, I was so annoyed because, I mean, I should know better. Jamie has been like, my Instagram followers know this. I'm going live and then I'll go live. And then I know what it is, but I'm just trying to, you know, get the news for you guys. But her surprise is that she is having twins. So I announced that she was pregnant the last time. I don't think I know how far along she is, but I assume that she's in the safe zone at 12 weeks and beyond. Someone's going to let us know or let me know what it is. But basically, she is having twins. And I don't know if she revealed the gender. I didn't go that deep. But again, double congratulations to her.
Congrats to her. I did see the twins. I was shocked. And she's been very vocal about the fact that this is natural. So after all this time trying to get pregnant and now there's two. I'm very happy for her and Doug. I always feel like an even number is better.
Okay.
The last piece of news that we have is just, the only word I can use to describe it is devastating. And and we posted about it. But Garrison Brown from Sister Wives, Janelle and Cody's son, passed away by suicide earlier this week. I personally feel so sad. It's one of those weird things where like you remember somebody as a child and they seem to be doing so great. He bought a house. He had this lovely, even though they were dysfunctional, we could see sort of all the love he had around him. And then now we know that those people are now really suffering with his loss and that he was in a lot of pain. So I don't know, like, unfortunately, myself included, we all know people, have family members. In my case, my family member actually died the exact same way Garrison did. It's just really difficult and really sad. And our hearts just go out to the Brown family and all the Sister Wives fans, the normal ones, because some of them have lost their minds. It's a loss. Reddit is telling me that people are going on Cody's page to say things.
No.
Going on Christine and Mary's page to say things. Janelle posted and she turned off comments, thank God. But Mary posted and she kept the comments on, and people can't be trusted.
No. I mean, I always still feel like a newbie to Sister Wives, even after I don't know how many seasons or whatever. And funny enough, I was having a conversation with my husband. Aid was the one who texted me the link. And I just kept saying, oh my God, oh my God. And my poor husband is like, what happened? What happened? What happened? And I couldn't even like get the words out. And I didn't know how to explain all the way, like, it's Cody, it's Garrison, like that's what happened and all that. But when it just finally sunk in, I just felt like a huge sadness, because it's just, like you said, you know, following this family, knowing everything that was going on, and just even thinking about the fact that he was in pain. I vividly, the first scene that came to mind was that scene when they were all at his house and they were talking, and he said, we don't need him. At least I speak for myself, like, I don't need him anymore. I'm an adult and all that stuff. And to think that, was he just, you know, being strong, or was he just suffering and, you know, no one knew, or maybe someone knew, I don't know. But either way, it's just really sad. And even sadder, like, you know, I think the reports is that Gabe found him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't unsee that. You know, so all around is just a sad thing. And I remember when we were talking about the whole thing with Cody talking and all that, and I kept saying, this man keeps talking like he has all the time in the world. Honestly, I was not thinking about, you know, anything happening to the children or anything, but it's just sad that now the door is just completely closed. Even though I think Janelle said there was some kind of reconciliation or something, but, you know, we just wish all the family well, and, you know, may his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, you know, I had a thought, like, honestly, the first thing I thought when I saw it is, I really hope he and Cody were talking by the end of it. And then I had this other thought that it doesn't necessarily matter. Sometimes you make your choices, but people should know that they don't have all the time in the world. You never do. But I think that I don't want to put it on Garrison, like, oh, he should have, I hope he made up with Cody. Like, maybe that wasn't the path he wanted to go down, and that was his choice. Mm-hmm. I would hope, for Cody's sake, for everybody's sake, that if there's someone who you are not speaking to, and maybe you do actually want to reconnect with them, not required, I don't know. Yeah. I hope everybody takes the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, guys. On that note, we'll be back to talk about Decision Day. Life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming, and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
So, Decision Day.
A motherfucking 2-hour decision day. We gotta add.
And
why?
The only part that really mattered of the 2 hours was the last 30 minutes. So we'll just try to get through. Honestly, I'm just gonna try to get through as much of these decisions as quickly as possible so we can get to the good stuff. So we start with Becca and Austin, which I think I was surprised, because they were the most like, will they or won't they? And I was like, why are they putting that right up front? Even though I thought, that as I was watching, I think I thought, oh, everybody's saying no today. I don't even know why we're here. They do some selfie cam. They talk about how they spent the night apart, which because these relationships are so fractured, we didn't even get the, oh, we're going to separate for the last time. There was none of that this season because no couple was in a place to do that.
Yeah. No one was together at the time. Austin walked away days before, which I was like, that is not a good sign. Days before decision day. What a season, really.
So we have a format going. The experts sit down. I mean, we see shots of Becca and Austin and what they're wearing and makeup and thoughts and disappointment and whatever. And then we see the experts sit down with each other. They talk about how it's Dr. Pia's first decision day. Dr. Prepper says that this season is unprecedented. I honestly didn't know what she was talking about. I was like, is she talking about Michael? Is she talking about the fact that like none of these couples are together and it's decision day? What was she saying?
Oh, there's so many reasons. One, no one had sex. Two, they had like a wedding halfway. Three, we had like 3 separations before that. We've never had any of these things before.
Pastor Cal says that Becca and Austin have lots in common. Dr. Pia says that she loves Austin to death, so she's about to say some shit, but that she thinks he lacks emotional awareness and he has a difficult time expressing his feelings, and basically she says he's stunted. I was like, and you think he should be married? Okay. They talk about chemistry and feelings and their shared interests and all the things that they have going for them and they had going for them. They do the package that I hate where people talk and then we get to rewatch the season that we already watched. Did you have any thoughts on those?
Of course not. I was except why are we subjected to it? Because the experts recap, then they recap, and then I'm like, we watched it, so we don't need to see it again.
So they come in. Austin says that he loves the dress. She says he looks good too. They sit down. They are pretty close to each other for people who I think are about to say no. Austin says they have unresolved things and things that they will take time to resolve, and they have to not being able to manage issues in a healthy way. The whole time I'm looking at Becca's face, she seems to be thinking like, really? Like, really? That's the thing that I thought she was thinking, but I don't know. Becca talks about how she wasn't being authentic about how she feels by his request, and she felt like she was living 2 different lives, and there's a discussion about on-camera Austin and off-camera Austin and how she doesn't trust him. Austin says she doesn't trust him on or off-camera. Trust, camera. Okay. Austin is nicer when the cameras are gone. They talk about anxiety, and this kind of bothered me because Dr. Pia said something about how she should like let go of her anxiety and trust things. The problem I have with this is I think Becca's anxiety is a warning to her about what is not right. You don't need to ignore your instincts to serve someone who Dr. Pia says has trouble expressing his emotions.
I think you're being nice. I think her exact words were, tell your anxiety to shut up. And, you know, as someone who suffers from anxiety, I'm just like, you can't do that. And you're absolutely right. Like, I just didn't think that was the right thing to say. It's like telling someone, oh, I'm depressed. And you said, just think positive thoughts and be happy. Like, it doesn't work that way. I'm with you on that one. I didn't think that was right.
I also, I don't know, like, this is the thing about anxiety. sometimes it is unwarranted, but I actually don't usually think it's unwarranted. It's just magnified. Like when you have an excess of anxiety, it's not that you shouldn't be, I mean, I'm no mental health expert. It's not that you shouldn't be worried about the thing, it's that your level of worry about the thing is disproportionate. I think that's sort of like the clinical definition of anxiety. But there are things that you should be legitimately worried about. And that same instinct that causes you to over anxiety things is the same one for the things that you should be anxious about. It's very hard to navigate.
I think what would have been better if she said something like acknowledge that your anxiety might be playing a factor here. Keyword being might. So we're not dismissing it, but we're recognizing it, but you're not giving it so much of a role in there or whatever, so that you're able to like separate the two. Because in later times, we're going to hear Becker saying she doesn't trust her instinct, with Dr. Pia saying, tell it to shut up. You're making her lose even more trust in her instinct.
And that's a scary way to navigate the world, not trusting your own instincts. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about these decision day conversations is that when they cut it off and they're like, okay, it's time to make a decision, it always seems like a shock to me, because the way these conversations go, they could go on for forever. So finally, Pastor Cal is like, okay, time to make a decision. And Becca says, I want to say no to where this marriage has been, and yes, to where it could be. I was like, girl, this is called decision day. We don't have time for any of that. So Dr. Pia is like, oh, I'm hearing that your answer is yes. And then we go to commercial, and then we come back, and then Becca says yes, and Austin smiles, and he says he's excited, and he too wants to stay married. And Dr. Pia says, it works if you work it, as her pastor says, confirms for us that her pastor is not Pastor Cal, because that was the question we all had.
Do we know where Dr. Pia lives?
No idea.
Oh, okay. Many thoughts. You know, last week we were talking about, and Nicole mentioned, you know, giving the marriage a shot outside of the cameras, and then, you know, maybe you have a higher propensity to be successful. And I said I used to be a believer in that until Aid made me see the light. I was like, usually the problems are not really the camera. So if it's like not solved, really the cameras are not going to make a difference, as much as we want to think so. And I think this just proved your point. And I was like, yeah, I chose the right team. It's not about the cameras. And I think that's where she was headed. I am kind of surprised that she said yes, because I have never seen a more miserable yes. Like, it didn't even feel like a yes. I don't even think we popped champagne. I didn't even get that giddy feeling like, oh, there's a couple that stayed together. And it also felt like if she didn't say yes, would Austin have said yes?
Oh, I didn't think he would have. And that's why I was kind of, it shouldn't be her responsibility, but I was disappointed. I was like, you said yes, and now he has to say yes.
Yeah, Austin was like, oh, yay, okay, we're still doing this. Yay, I say yes to. But, you know, when they were going back and forth, she did not say anything positive about this man. So I was fully prepared for her to say no. But also, I'm going to say this again. I don't feel like we got to see Austin and Becca. We don't know half of the things they're talking about, this off-camera, on-camera thing. And I was with, I can't remember what expert brought it up, but either the show did a good job or they acted so well. But I do believe my memory serves me memories of them being happy and cutesy together. So was that fake or was that actual good moments? Because like what Austin said, based on her, what she's saying, everything didn't seem like it was happy. And I think maybe it was Dr. Pia, where she was like, so was it real or was it not? And I don't like that. I don't like that. It feels like I watch them and I don't think I know anything.
I felt vindicated when they showed the old stuff, because I remember how happy they were in the beginning, and I remember them saying, let's not get too deep. And I was like, and I was right, because I think that was their problem the whole time.
Hmm. Well, yeah, good luck to them. I mean, not good luck. We know what happens. But as of this point, I was still where I was. I mean, my prediction last week was they could say yes, but either way, they can't last. They're just not compatible people.
I had, yep. I just, I, yeah. So next up is Brennan and Emily. And my question was, why are we doing this? They both went into decision day like they were going to war. There was no decision to be had there. There was just positions to defend. The experts in their sit down, they talk about the accident, and Pastor Cal is like, he can draw you close or tear you apart. And Dr. Pepper was extolling how he did such a good job of taking care of her. And they agree that maybe there was a turning point, but somewhere it fizzled. So even the experts are going into this knowing full well that this is not even a decision day. It's just, I don't know, a litigation of past issues?
I mean, the clue was Pastor Cal starting with his defense. Honestly, Emily and Brennan's section felt like a court of law, where everyone was just coming to state their case, including the experts. Because he's like, you know, we go through this so many times. We go through months and months of vetting. But even when you do that, we still can't tell. And then he went the attraction route. I'm like, sir, the attraction was not the issue. You got a shitty person cast to marry this person. But whatever you say, sir. Because I do think they were attracted to each other in the beginning, actually.
I agree 1,000%. They were attracted to each other in the beginning. Something happened with Brennan. Mm-hmm. So, they come in. My favorite was when Brennan said he came in thinking divorce was not an option, and now he's thinking it's the only option.
Oh my, how the tides have turned.
I think Emily was very revenge dress, like... It was giving me like Ariana Maddox energy, that dress.
Oh, really?
She looked good.
I actually felt they were a little dressed down this season.
I like the short dresses, not ball gowns. I think the it's like when Housewives reunion switched to ball gowns. It's hit or miss in my like. So I like that they kept it. I wouldn't call it casual by any means, but we don't need ball gowns.
It's cocktail. Cocktail attire.
So they come in, they sit down, nowhere near each other. I mean, they're on the same couch, but, you know, they're not close. Dr. Pepper says she's glad to see Emily, that they were worried. Emily says, like, going through the recovery at the same time while all this is going on is difficult. Dr. Pepper says that they want happy marriages, but they'll take personal growth and accountability. And feeling like you left better to have a great relationship with someone else if it couldn't be here.
Aw. Except it's not called accountability at first sight. We want marriages.
The funny thing is, I still think this is a really good season of Married at First Sight, despite so far not actually producing any. Mm-hmm. But this was a good season. Like, I was even somewhat excited about Decision Day. These people are entertaining.
Yeah, there was enough. They were lucky, because I think that's what season 16 suffered from. Like, we all knew they were going to say no, but we actually had no content, nothing else to mine. But here, there's stuff to mine that didn't get so terrible. And also, they were saved by the Chloe and Michael.
That too. So they start litigating their points of view. Brennan says that he's glad that he grew to be resilient, and in previous times, he would have run at the first red flag or slight inconvenience, and so I guess he's proud of himself for giving it a full chance. The way Brennan is speaking is freaking me out a little bit.
Very calm.
It's too calm. It's not even monotone. It's like a placating kind of calm voice that's really weird. I don't think this whole season we've heard him speak even like this.
That's how he is. That's the scary part about Brennan. He speaks calm like that. It's almost like he's controlling his rage, and that's what makes it creepy, is that he's always speaking that way. He speaks like, I mean, for those of you who watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Joe Budden. When he used to fight with his girlfriends and gaslight them, and he's speaking so calmly and just making them so angry. And I'm like, those are the most dangerous of them all. And you think because you're speaking calmly, like you're making sense.
Emily rebuts his personal growth philosophy with everything you say you grew from is exactly what you did. You're telling yourself what you want to hear. You ran in the hardest way. Then Brennan doesn't help his case by saying, so when you needed me, no, he said when you were, and then he stopped and he goes, when you needed someone the most, who was there for you? That's not good. For someone who is very obsessed with what he's going to look like, he needs to stop this. So Emily's like going and pulling on my accident.
That's what I wanted to say. Like, I just want to say one more time that I find it really, really disgusting the way he weaponizes the way he was there for her during her accident. He has brought it up like 1,000,000,000 times, and it almost feels like he feels like he saved her life and he centers himself in this really traumatic thing that happened to her. And it's just really, truly disgusting.
I'm not sure what the point is either. Like, first, I maybe I've said it before, I must say it again. There was an entire film crew there. He was the first person to reach her. He's not a doctor. I think Nicole said it last week too. He's not a doctor. He didn't put in the stitches. I don't know how you're taking credit for saving her life.
I don't know.
So Dr. Pia asks if he sees that he's being defensive. And that's when the voice changes a little. He's like, so he answers a question with a question. He's like, do you see the attack? Dr. Pia says she doesn't see an attack, but she asks him to put into words why he's feeling attacked. He says I don't know what he says. Dr. Pia, when you say you did everything, that's not true. There were homework assignments you were given that you did not do. And he's like, I'm happy to take accountability for not doing that if you feel that's what caused this whole. And he doesn't get to finish his thought because Emily is just saying, you know, you don't have accountability in general. You like to tell me that I need to take accountability. This whole, like, these people can kill a word, you know, because I'm like, I don't ever want to hear the word accountability again.
Or silenced, but keep going.
Were you silent or were you silenced? Emily says that she's ignored things to see the best in him. And every time that I asked you to come up with a solution, you asked me to come up with a solution. This is Brennan, you know, I don't even understand this train of thought of solutions to the problem of you not liking her, but okay. She talks about feeling silenced and you try to take control. You try to get me to delete my diary cams and just her feeling that she can't stick up for herself. His position that she's not allowed to say anything negative about him. They talk a lot. I mean, there's this protection thing that he likes to bring up. Like, I was protecting you. Well, I didn't want you to protect me. I just don't understand how you frame, I didn't say terrible things about why I didn't like you to protect you. Thoughts, Tane?
Yeah, who is he protecting? Like, he thinks he's protecting her. She gave you permission to say it. So you were really protecting yourself because you didn't want to come off as a dick. So let's not rephrase. You know what? There were a lot of terrible people this season. Now that I think about this.
That's where I ended things. Yeah, yeah.
Because this it's like a common theme. Protecting, protection. I need people to come in there and just be yourself. And trust that yourself will carry you through whatever TV show you have agreed to be on. Because when you try to control things, it's never going to come out okay. So, yeah, he misread that really incorrectly.
And I totally understand that Nicole had a great relationship and came out of this with, like, a lovely husband and all this good stuff. But if you want to, I don't know, as an example of a person who was completely authentically themselves, and yeah, some people didn't like it, but most people did. And whether you're fake or yourself, that's going to be the end result. So you might as well be yourself.
Yep. Yep. I mean, one might say, or one might argue, remember when we asked Dr. Pepper, what do you say if you're not attracted? And she's like, just don't say anything. So one might argue like, oh, maybe you just don't say anything or all that stuff. So I don't know, but the opposite of it all was
him just trying to be like, I'm doing it to protect you, versus maybe telling an expert and then they can guide you on what to say. But he was really controlling about it, I guess, where he's like, you don't want to, when he told Pascal, yeah, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. We're not going to, then it makes it way bigger than it really is. So I don't know.
I also, there, like, I think a good example, it's not that Eris looked great throughout the season, but Eris never said anything about why he wasn't attracted to Jasmine. He came off pretty good. For a person who was probably never attracted to his spouse, he didn't make for great TV, but he came off pretty good.
Yeah, because you can say, I'm not attracted to you right now, but I'm willing to work on it. And then don't be a sourpuss the rest of the season. Because the one thing you can give Eris was that he was not like all gloom and doom the way Brennan was. Brennan acted like they sucked the life out of him. They stole all of his money and they forced him to be here. Not that he went through months of filling out an application and signed up to be on a show where he knew what the format was. So you can say, like, I think, like, hey, I'm not attracted to you, but, you know, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to make sure we have, like, a good time. And then just be a decent human being and that's all. That way, when they say, did you give it your all, you can honestly say that you did.
And Eris always took every opportunity to say positive things that he could say. And Brennan did not. Brennan actually said some pretty strange negative things about her towards the end. It took him till the end, but he started saying things. Mm-hmm. So finally, we get to the end of this torture. They talk about going to war and threatening things. She says that he threatened her by saying he would ruin her life on TV. He says he never said that. There's a lot of back and forth about who threatened who and how and what. And then finally, we're put out of our misery. And they say that they want to get a divorce. Brennan says he's done his best throughout and sorry if she feels like he tried to silence her. The reality is they don't click from a physical and emotional perspective. It's not a blame thing. We tried. It just didn't work. I would like to get divorced. Emily, after it's all said and done, Emily is really upset. At one point, she is with the experts and I think a producer. She's crying. Pastor Cal says, don't let anybody make you feel bad about yourself. Dr. Pia calls her phenomenal. And in an interview, she says she's excited to get back to Emily Party of One and go to therapy and work through this and learn as much as she can from this.
It really was hilarious seeing the experts let their back and forth play out. Because, I mean, they needed content to make up for the two-hour episodes. They just sat there, and Emily and Brennan were just going back and forth. But even funnier was just watching Dr. Pierre not let anything Brennan says go. They hate each other, and I don't think they could hide it. And that was so hilarious to watch. And when they were hugging each other, the hug that they gave, like an air church hug, was hilarious to me. I was just like, well, that's done, but that was fun to watch. But yeah, Emily looked so hurt, and I hope she does find herself. Because, I mean, remember that she did not have a relationship. This is the closest to a long-term relationship that she had, and yet it came out to something. Remember the same thing that I mentioned last week on the episode where she was in the bathroom saying, and you wonder why I'm so fucked up in the head. So it's just like, hopefully she doesn't internalize this and she heals from this. Because I just think as a human being, it's kind of impossible not to internalize it and say it's something about you. But I hope that, you know, Brennan was also shitty. So
at one point, Brennan was doing his thing and Pastor Cal said something. And I felt like Brennan was like, Pastor Cal, how could you do me like this? I thought you would be on my side. But anyway,
is that when Pastor Cal was like, I'm sorry, this is all bullshit?
Yes. I didn't even talk about that part where Pastor Cal was like, this is all bullshit. And Brennan was just like, but how could you?
Et tu, Brute? Me?
So we're done, theoretically, with Emily and Brennan. And when we come back, We'll close out decision day.
All right, so we're back. We see Becca and Austin. They have like a post same day decision day. Remember where Alexis and Justin broke up?
Like that is exactly where my mind went. And I will say that when they said yes, I thought that I'm like, they're going to be broken up before the end of decision day, just like Alexis and Justin.
Well, Alexis and Justin still have the record, but they're standing out in the cold. I'm like, I can't believe this two said yes after all the terrible things she said about him. But Austin is like, oh, they have a lot to figure out. And Emily's like, she wants to refocus on herself. Does that sound like she's telling him, I want to refocus on myself because I've lost myself. Does that sound like someone who just said yes? Like, she's clearly miserable. She's like, I want to clear the lens that I've been viewing things by. She has not been happy the last 3 weeks, and she hopes she can be happy with him. Austin says that the production element is hard and it's been a challenge for him. And for now, he's choosing Becker and he's going to try. All I will say was their body language was not it at all. Like, they just seemed like they were not friends. And even when they were walking away and Austin put his arm around her, Becca did not reciprocate. She just kept walking. So that's not for them. Then it was Claire and Cameron's turn. And like I said, if I was Cameron, I would extend my sick leave and not show up for this joke because this is ridiculous. You've been divorced many, many weeks ago, and it turns out that they turned out to be the longest. Their conversation was so long. I was like, is this ever going to end? So he comes in and he tells the experts how he upped his medication. He's on better beta blockers and blood thinners and something else. And they hug, they see each other, and even the sitting is the usual Cameron and Claire thing. Oh, should I sit here? Should you sit here? Oh, good God. So Dr. Pepper asks him about when he got ill, and Cameron says that his experience came after they separated, and he wanted her to know that she had no commitments to him to take care of him, and it will be easier for him on his own. He has faced other health challenges, and selfishly, the more people got involved, the harder it was to accomplish his goal. I guess the goal was to get better. So Claire says for her, she would want people around her, and this was hard for her. And I'm like, this is why this is a joke. This man does not want this woman around him when he's recuperating from being ill. So why would you say that if she says yes, you say yes? Like, what are we doing? Because if this is someone you intend to be married to, of course you want them around you when you're needing help and being sick.
But I just think it's an image thing. These image-obsessed people. The only reason Cameron said, if Claire says yes, I'll say yes, is because he's like, oh, I'm not going to look like shit. Not in this universe. So if she says yes, I'm going to say yes.
Oh, gosh. I know there's no way to know how to navigate, to spot this out, but we need to not have a cast of at least like half of them caring so much about the camera. Anyways, Claire says that he was pushing her away and there was a massive large wall. Yes, Claire, the large wall was when you both wanted a divorce. I don't understand how she's viewing this, I don't know, marriage, friendship, whatever it is. She says that as someone who is empathetic and nurturing, she wanted to show that she cares, and it felt like he didn't want her there. And this, to me, does not jive with her saying that, oh, they're great, they're good, they're friends, and they're everything, because this sounds like they haven't seen each other or spoken to each other in a while.
It's a one-sided friendship. This whole time, Claire has been friends with Cameron, and Cameron hasn't been participating in this friendship.
Cameron says that he was appreciative, but he was too weak to take it. She said in their marriage, they had a lot of misunderstandings. Claire says that, you know, they were not opening up to the experts, and instead they were protecting each other. And I'm just like, there was way too much of that going on this season. We've talked about that. Cameron says they talked about what, you know, in the beginning, they talked about what they asked for in a partner. And in hindsight, maybe it was too early for that conversation. I don't know know if I agree with that, Aid. I just...
Okay, no, I think he said something he shouldn't have said.
Yeah, I think... Okay. I think I know what he's saying. Like, maybe they didn't know each other enough. They weren't equipped. They didn't understand to talk about what it is. But I my memory is not helping, but I feel like other couples have talked about it. Like what would be the harm in talking about what did you ask the experts for? It sounds like normal expected conversation, I think. I don't know.
I think when he said that, I was hearing what Lauren said in After Party.
Oh, okay.
And okay. So I felt like he was saying, I said some stuff I shouldn't say.
Okay. That's fair. So he said that she took issue with the word slender. And, you know, she's like, I'm not slender. He's like, I think you're slender. And then they're arguing about body. Ugh. But I'm glad they brought it up because I was already on the path of like, okay, After Party, we hear a different thing. You guys are not really talking about what the issue was. And you're giving us what you think we should have watched. So I'm glad they at least talked about this. Now, Claire starts to say that she was more alone in the process than with Cameron. And Cameron chimed in and was like, ma'am, we lived together for 4 weeks. And then I was in the hospital. And then she tries to say like, yeah, when we lived together, then, you know, after that, after we left, you know, my guard was down. And Cameron was like, I mean, yeah, all great and good, but it was too late for me. So what in the revisionist history was Claire trying to do?
I don't know. That whole conversation from beginning to end, I actually had no idea what either one of them saying or why they were saying it.
Yes, because I don't like feeling insulted like as a viewer because we watched them like not get along, her saying she wasn't attracted, them not even like being on the same boat. They were just like ships just sailing past each other all the time. And I think what I don't like is they clearly didn't get along or weren't matched or whatever, but Claire tries to make it seem like they were, but they didn't try hard enough. Because if nothing else, we always said that they tried. They just were a mismatch.
Until they stopped trying and broke up.
Anyways, Cameron continues to say more nice stuff about her. Like they were teammates and they showed up, but it didn't work. And honestly, I'm just annoyed by it. Pastor Kyle was like, they're compassionate towards each other and it's unfortunate. I'm annoyed by the compassion, honestly, because what I'm hearing is like, it's like rehearsed scripts and like they're walking on eggshells and no one is really truly saying what is truly happening. So I don't want to be fed more of the bullshit, to be honest.
Yes, they did a lot of talking at each other. Mm-hmm. It was one of the strangest conversations. And I didn't understand a lot of why they were saying it. What is the purpose here? Mm-hmm. It was a reconciliation, let's be friends. I don't know.
It was tiptoeing in conversation form. So Cameron says he's not sure why they miss each other so much. Not miss like, oh, I miss you. Like they just don't understand each other. And he takes his part of the blame. Claire says she was confused most of the journey and she was very unaware of her feelings. People think like as a therapist, she should know her feelings and it was very scary to her. And once again, she's sorry that she took him on that journey and that she hurt him. And Cameron apologizes for, quote, fucking up the process. And he says that and I nearly burst out laughing when Pastor Cal is like, well, do you guys want to stay together or not? I'm like, are you... Is this a joke? But anyways, Cameron says that his attraction is gone and don't take offense to this, which he said that a lot during the season. I forgot about that. But that he sees her as a family member and for that reason, he can't stay married to her. She said that she would also like to get a divorce. And I'm like, thanks, guys. We already knew this weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, that was it for them. And then, this is where it starts getting good. We get a selfie cam of Becca. It is the night of decision day. Well, decision night, I guess. And Claire and Emily are out, and they texted her that they just saw Brennan and Austin out with their producer. And she finds it funny because he's so worried about optics, and he doesn't understand that the optics don't look good for him. I have so many questions, Aid. Like, okay, why? This is like Jimmy and Chelsea, because I'm like, why are they all out without her? Like, her girls and her man. And why is the producer out? Why do we care about this producer? What is this optics that is bad? Him going out, he's not being filmed. So what are the optics that she's talking about? Like, again, the criticism for this season is I don't have the bandwidth to read between the lines. Like, serve it to me like I'm five. Why are we getting stories within the stories and we have to go digging? But anyways, there's more to it than there is being said. And I really, really hope that this comes out in the reunion. My expectations are low, but it was a 5-second clip, but it was a lot.
Well, it was... The funniest thing about that clip is it made Becca look nuts. So, because I'm watching it and I'm like, is it because the producer is associated with the show that you said you're trying to get away from? Like you said, it's not like there were cameras out. I have a theory about Charlotte and Denver. I'm like, are there only 5 bars? Is that where everybody goes? That's why everybody's always seeing each other at the bar? Is it the bar that's around the corner from their apartment and that's why everybody's there? Why? I mean, if they were really serious about being married, I don't understand why he's out at the bar. Did he come back to the bar and spend the night with her? Because you know you guys are making a go of this marriage.
Yeah. And then he
decided... There was a lot of WTFs about Becca's whole thing. And I will say, it wasn't a good look for her.
But I will say this. I think I agree with her. Seeing how upset she was... I mean, we've learned that Austin doesn't know how to read cues. But seeing how upset she was and knowing that what she needs... I think my exact words to Nicole was like, why I don't think they work is that I don't think Austin knows how to love her the way she wants to be loved. But seeing how upset she is, she wants to be a focus, she wants to be everything. This in some way should be a night that you're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be spending it with your wife. Now, what we don't know is if she's like, oh, I'm not up to going out or whatever. If your wife is not up to going out on this important night, take the L and just stay home and plan something. Since she said that she wanted to spend, even if it's just takeout, it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. That is a huge message saying, like, I am prioritizing you. But to choose to go out with these men and whoever and whatever night and this producer that clearly triggers Becca, that's a choice on the night that you're committing to each other.
In the moment, though, I was if it was about staying in, that would have made more sense to me. But what Becca was talking about in that thing was optics and being out with the boys and a producer. Even when she was making that video, we didn't know that producer was even female. So the video by itself made no sense. True. But then later on, there's more detail.
That is true. Good points. Good points. So I wonder, I hope they didn't edit it out. But yeah. Okay. That's true. Okay, so everyone meets up. The first person I see is Orion, and I just want to stab my eyeballs. But Chloe and Michael walk in like a ray of sunshine, holding hands. Becca and Austin hug like classmates because, as we find out, they apparently did not spend the night together because in the beginning, they're like, where is Becca? And I don't think he knew. But he's telling us that they're in a good place and everything's fine. And then she walks in and they hug each other like classmates or something. Like, it was the coldest hug I've ever seen. So then they all sit down and Becca coincidentally asked them what they did last night. And asked Austin, what did you do last night? And they're like, oh, they go out. She asks more leading questions and says, were there any producers there? And he says, no. And she's getting hyphy. And he's like, are you like mad at me or something? And I'm like, I have questions again. So where did they spend the night? Did they not speak at all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. This is not good. So
the up until the point you're talking about, not a good look for either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Becca asking questions that she knows the answer to try to catch Austin in a lie, and then he is not bright enough to just tell the truth. He goes ahead and tell a lie. It's one of those things where I'm like, what conversation did you have off camera about this topic that he thought he could come on camera and lie? What is wrong with you two? And I'm saying you two. Coming, we just heard you say that you know these things. Coming on camera to ask him these things to catch him in a lie. I mean, okay, I guess it's a good test of whether or not he's an honest person. But you don't look that great either.
She says, and are you here for friendship with the producers or are you here for a marriage with me? This was the point where I was like, was it wrong that she brought this up in front of everyone?
What was the goal? Becca, you had the opportunity to break up with him yesterday. You could break up with him since last night when you knew he was out. You could have sent him a text message and said, we're done. So why are we here in front of everybody trying to litigate your relationship again?
So my thought was, I think she was trying to embarrass him because she feels like she's been protecting him all season. And she's just like, this is my time to just let it rip.
This is not the method that I would recommend, but okay, Becca.
So, yeah, and after she went on and she kept saying, like, the producer, and you know that you will, what was it that she said? She said, and you know, like, I've had a problem with her. And at this point, I'm confused. I'm like, is he having an affair? That's a strong word, but does he have a liking towards the producer? But we don't know because they never give us the real. But she did say something like, going out with her, and you know that that has been a bone of contention in our relationship. And I was like, wait, I thought it was the cameras and the production. They said that the production aspect, I didn't know they meant an actual human producer.
Agreed. But this is mass for you. 19 episodes. Episode 20 is when we hear the real story, which is that amongst all the other things that Becca have said is a problem, is that he has a little crush on a producer. She has told him, I think you have a little crush on the producer. He then decides to go out with the producer. Finally, we have a storyline.
Oh, we could have used the after party today. We really could have. So Becca says that, you know, she has been calm, cool, and collected this whole season, and now she's all riled up. And Austin, which now, this is the second time he's doing it, so to me it's a pattern now. He's like, that's not true. And she goes, what? And she goes, you haven't always been calm, cool, and collected. And this is like the jacket where I thought he was trying to make light when he could have just shut up. He's like, you could have at least washed your hands. Like, shut up, Austin. But she goes,
I'm glad you brought up the jacket. I feel like, and this will continue throughout this whole lovely like group conversation, there's like this need for there to be like a villain and a non-villain, and all the guys are villains and all the girls are non-villains. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that's the case. I think all these people might suck except for Chloe and Michael.
Yeah, and Lauren.
And Lauren.
Honestly, because there's just like, we're not five. This gender war, I don't know. It's like a weird, anyways, we'll get to that. But she goes on to say that she does not feel secure and there is no trust. And right now, after he's lying, this has shot it to hell. Becca's like, I've given you many chances. And Lauren just steps in and was like, so Becca, what are you saying?
Thank you. What are you saying?
And this woman will never ever say I'm breaking up with you. She said, I'm saying many things because I'm angry. Okay, but still, what are you saying? Austin says, like, I've tried to be that person for her, and if she doesn't feel that way, he doesn't know what to do. He says their relationship has gone to an unhealthy place and he doesn't know. Becca says, what I hear you say is that you think we shouldn't try. He goes, no, I didn't say that. I said that. Sorry, it was just so funny. He said, I said that it was unhealthy and I don't know what we should do. Emily chimes in and is like, well, I feel like now is the right time to change your decision. And Becca is refusing. And she's just like, well, I just feel more confused than ever. And this is where, I think we've said this before, Claire just talks
at the most inopportune time and just says rubbish. And she came in and is like, I don't want to interfere, but as she proceeds to interfere and talks about how there's been this theme in this season with the men, like, I feel silenced. And Cameron is like, excuse me, in our marriage, who was the one being silenced? And then she's like, you're the one who tells me what to say, what not to say. And she goes, no, that's a different thing. He goes, what?
How is this? Let it be said that it wasn't about anybody being silenced or silenced. I think part of my annoyance is that, Becca, you had the opportunity to say no yesterday. You've now had 24 hours in which all the new information you've gotten says that you should be done with this man. And you're still sitting there hemming and hawing.
Yeah. Like, just break up with him. Like, why are you still dragging it? My annoyance with Claire was, if you're going to make a point with your relationship. Because what she was saying was, Cameron didn't want her to be involved in telling Emily about the whole Emily Brennan go on a date thing or whatever. And he said, oh, just don't get involved. Like, I don't want to be involved. Like, because I guess he told her that. And she's like, I felt silence. I'm like, do you guys know what that means? Like,
he gave you information. He asked you to keep it to yourself. That's a fair ask. You felt that you shouldn't keep it to yourself. That's also fair. But no one was trying to silence you. He just asked for some discretion.
Then she went all the way to say, in our marriage, like, come on. Like, you know, and I think that, no, honestly, that's what tipped Cameron and took him over the ledge. Because he's like, I'm not going to stand for her saying that she felt silence. And he really told her, this poor man that's not supposed to be getting his heart rate up or yelling. And he's like, like, I have never, ever told you what to say, what not to do and all that. And Cameron said that he didn't think he just was fair to interfere in the relationship. And then this becomes like some kind of gender war again, because all the ladies come on and they say something and Cameron is just like, you know what? I can't win. And then they pile up on him and they're like, oh, is this something you guys rehearsed? Because that's what Brennan says too. That's what all the men say. It's like, oh, they can't win. And Cameron says he lied every single day of the marriage. I'm like, Cameron, we are all ears. Please tell us all of the lies. All of the lies. And then Emily's like, yeah, you guys think like you want to protect us. We don't need protection. Cameron says, I was asked to protect. Like, I'm not doing it out of anything. But he gets so pissed and then he walks away. And then he tells the producers that being accused of being silenced is painful. And that she told him things that he can or cannot say, including her saying that she's not being attracted to him. He says that actually he's currently getting text messages of her and she's making sure that he doesn't air out her secrets. And the camera does pan to her on her phone texting. And someone says, is he responding? And she's like, no, he's not. But you just said that this man silenced you. So why are you texting someone that silenced you? And why were you apologizing to someone that silenced you? Like, listen, I think, you know, way back in the past, we've been accused of like taking the guy's sides or supporting the patriarchy, which is not the truth at all, but whatever. But the odds do not stack up in Claire's favor. Like, I don't understand, if this man was so terrible to you, why are you apologizing for him? Why are you crying about him? Why are you saying you're sorry you did these things? Like, let the things be consistent. Like, which is it? You know,
if you were to ask me, I think that because we're women, we tend to fall on the women's side in most issues. Mm-hmm. We try to be fair, but I think that our inclination is to back up and defend the woman. So when we are not backing up and defending the woman, I think we have a point. I think we have a point.
Yeah.
And in this case, Claire, first off, she interjected with something that had nothing to do with her. I don't understand. Like, there's a difference, I think, between supporting someone in their position or supporting someone and using their voice, or three of you all trying to fight with each other's man on in behalf of each other.
I just wish she had thought it through. If we were talking about Brennan, please pile it on. Go all the way, or if we're talking about anything. But what do you have against Cameron, except him saying he didn't want you to interfere in that? What other examples do you have of him silencing you? And if that was an issue, why did it not come up the entire time?
And I just don't believe it. I have to be very honest. And I also don't understand why they can't seem to distinguish between discretion and silencing. I don't expect you guys to tell us every single thing that each yeah. other has told each other about each other. Figure it out amongst yourselves. But I do expect people to use some discretion and then not hold that discretion against somebody later. Mm-hmm. So Cameron's like, I was discreet because, you know, we're grown-ups. And then she tries yeah. to flip it on, I have been silenced.
Wow. So poor Michael and Chloe. Every time there's a link up, it's just chaos.
Oh,
so
my he's, God.
So he's like, so you guys had your decision day. What's next for you guys? Brennan says, I'm going to self-reflect. And then for Emily, she walks all the way to Brennan because she wants him to hear her. She says he has she's taking accountability and how it ended is very, 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 very sad. And it was delicate and it's going to hurt. She's in tears. She says it's not all in him. And they hold hands. And quite frankly, I just wish she didn't do that.
It was a very, very weird 180. A very weird 180. And that she really weakened her hand there. Because I started to think. I started to think really hard. I'm like, so when Brennan came on after party and said that you were acting crazy and drunk, might there have been some truth to that? Because suddenly now not everything is his fault.
I just cannot understand the empathy of these people. If someone truly tried to silence me, I don't care about, like, no. I am not going to make you sleep well at night. I'm not going to offer you any peace offering. Like, we're just going to go our separate ways and act like it never existed. We'll fulfill our contracts, do the reunion, and then keep it moving. I don't like this because it makes them feel better about whatever it is that happened. But anyways, Lauren says that she's looking forward to growth. And she gives Orion an olive branch. And I'm...
Again, what about why?
Oh, stop it, guys. You can be my friend. Here's a knife. Cut the cake or whatever. I just hate how they all want to care. I care for you. I deeply... Just move on, guys. Just move on. But Lauren is also, like, you know, really kind because she does ask Chloe and Michael, how are you guys progressing in your relationship? Like, it's so unfair. These people always coming to a shit show and all we have to talk about is the shit show-ness and no one ever wants to bask in their happiness. So Chloe says that they're in a positive place and they've leaned into accepting each other for who they are. They're excited for the future. And then when it was Michael's turn, Michael just waxes poetic. I can't say exactly all his words, but he says that he shines. But besides her, he's a candle in the sun. She's a much better human. He's going to continue to be selfish and teach her how to be selfish, but also learn how to be selfless and all that. Orion is like, oh, you guys are disgusting, like in a jokey way. Becca says it's refreshing to see their emotional integrity and the process has made her see her weak spots. And once again, she says that there might be a bridge in the future
for her. What? To Terabithia? Like, what does she mean?
But she needs to trust her gut and intuition. And Austin is like, he feels blindsided. I was like, you do? You thought she was yelling for fun? Okay. But
every time they flash to Michael and Chloe, I just, you know, I put my head in my hands. Because I was like, they look miserable. They look like they wish the ground would swallow them up so they could escape the misery that is this group of yelling hyenas and peacocks. They just... just look like they want out. And I'm thinking to myself, watching this nonsense cannot be good for whatever good things are going on with you guys. Watching this cannot be good for you. And at one point, Chloe is holding Becca's hand, which I thought was really sweet. But I just kept on thinking, why are Chloe and Michael here? Why?
They'll soon be free of it all. Unlike us, we still have many episodes to go.
We do, but you know, for you and just for you, it appears Chloe and Michael have sex next week.
Yes. They saved the season. I don't know. Technically, does it count?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I have such high hopes for them again. I'm like, they're going to do it. They're going to make it. They look at, like, they just look so cute sitting there watching these train wrecks. It looked like they were holding each other for comfort in the storm.
I don't know. I don't trust Chloe. I'm so sure that Michael is going to say yes, regardless of the preview saying that if next week is decision day, I'm going to be like, I have insufficient data. I just think he'll say yes. Now, Chloe, I don't know. And honestly, he's not wrong about that. That's how I feel. I have insufficient data when it comes to Chloe. I don't know where she is from day to day.
This is their 1 month anniversary next week, though. So they have another whole month to go.
Holy moly.
And it's unfortunate. I thought we were just going to have the Michael and Chloe show, but how could I be so delusional? We're going to watch the others do stuff too. I was actually thinking this episode, I'm like, wasn't there a conversation with Lauren and Orion that we never got to see? Oh, it's in the preview. We are going to get to see that. I really felt like, I will say this, Claire, Becca, Emily, Cameron, Brendan, and Austin, the only person who looked good coming out of that conversation was Cameron. Everybody else, they took a beating in my estimation. And it wasn't that high to begin with some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they move forward after that, because, I mean, if they all hate each other, what are we going to film?
The girls get along great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we're just going to see a girls versus boys thing again, like we're in schoolyard?
The reunion's going to be a mess, because that's exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, boy.
So, Tane, who has your bouquet this week?
My bouquet goes to Cameron, because he took time out of recuperating. Men can barely talk, but he took deep breaths, made his point, stood up for himself, and wouldn't allow himself to be silenced. So, my bouquet goes to Cameron. Who has yours?
Mine goes to Dr. Pia for looking at, and Pastor Cal, actually, for both calling Brennan out of his name as nicely as possible when he really deserved it. Who has your burnt ashes, Tane?
My burnt ashes goes to Claire. Like, you know, I tried, y'all, but Claire has just never been my people's, like, this season. And the flip-floppiness, the inconsistency, the suddenly chiming in and turning this into a girls, guys, silenced or whatever. Like, you could have just isolated the situation and say, hey, I didn't like that you told me not to say anything. Like, you made me uncomfortable because she's my friend. But to go all the way to silence and then, you know, start chiming in and create a whole pileup and then text someone to make sure they're not saying your stuff. But if he silenced you, why are you texting? Ugh. Was not a fan of that. So Claire gets my ashes. Who has yours?
Becca and Austin. For for saying yes when you know full well you should have said no, both of you.
Oh, man. What a season.
It's not over. But I'm not mad. Honestly, I'm not mad. I do find this group of people very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at AltarCallMAFS. That's AltarCallMAFS. We love hearing from you guys on social media. I want to hear all of your thoughts on the mess that was Decision Day Part 1.
Thank you so much for listening to us, guys. Please give us a 5-star rating if you're so inclined on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any new episodes. And we'll be back for the Hot Mess Express next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.